Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is July 27, 2014, or it is AB 1, 2018. We will start our fourth service on this new moon Sabbath with a song entitled, Now I Belong to Yahshua. Yahshua, my Savior, will hold me forever. From him no power of evil can sever. He gave his life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Yahshua. Yahshua belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Once I was lost in sin's degradation, Yahshua came down to bring me salvation, lifted me up from sorrow and shame. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Yahshua. Yahshua belongs to me. Not for the things of earth alone, but for eternity. Joy floods my soul, for Yahshua has saved me, for freed me from sin that long had enslaved me. His precious blood he gave to redeem. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Yahshua. Yahshua belongs to me. Not for the things of time alone, but for eternity. Part 3, Latest News from Mother. We're going to continue on our series now, fact number 4. This is Brother B.T. Hollifer on page 34. We're going to do just a little review. From our last study, it says, observe how definitely the foregoing testimony places the purification of the church before the gospel work is finished. I'm going to add this, in the world. But after the gospel work is finished for the Adventists, then there's a time period then in the 12th hour, because the gospel work for the Adventists ended at the end of the 11th hour. The Adventists never did make it into the 12th hour, except that they gave up a harvest of the first fruits of 144,000 for the 12th hour. But the 12th hour is harvested, the 144,000 are harvested in the 12th hour. Whereas the Adventists came to their end at the end of the 11th hour, and the judgment of the living began with the ancient men before the house, 1 Peter 4:17, began at the house of Yahweh at Kermit, Texas, closing out the judgment of the dead in the 11th hour, and those that came to the judgment there advanced into the 12th hour right there in Kermit, 2002. Those that didn't, they stayed in the wilderness. And that's where they perish. So it says, observe how definitely the foregoing testimony places the purification of the Seventh-day Adventist Church at Gilead Center before the gospel work is finished for the second fruits in the world, the Gentiles. And immediately before the loud cry of the third angel's message is sounded, with the attendance of the fifth angel, Revelation 18, 1 and 4, here in the 12th hour, where it clearly states that the closing work for the Seventh-day Adventist Church is with the seeding, in the seeding time of the 144,000, and the fact that these are the first fruits proves that this work for the Seventh-day Adventist Church at Gilead Center is for the commencement of the harvest and the beginning of the 12th hour and the opening up of the seventh seal of Revelation 8, 1 and 2, and for the beginning for the separation of the wheat from the tares, and Ezekiel's 9 investigative judgment of the man in linen going through the city to mark all of those that are signed and crowned for the abomination that have been done the mixture of, and to cut loose the tares, which are represented also by the goats, and which is also represented by the bad fish. Okay, and that after they are sealed, the 144,000, and the church purified at the end of Ezekiel's 9 ministry investigative judgment, a second fruits are to be gathered in of the Gentiles, the brethren of the 144,000 that are residing in all the nations and the islands around the world. For where there is no second gathering, there can be no first. For this twofold harvest is brought unto the view also in the Revelation chapter 7. It says, after the beholding of the end gathering of the seeding of the 144,000 first fruits, John saw the subsequent end gathering of the great multitude out of all nations, Revelation 7:9, the second fruit. For the developing still further of the subject of the purification, for the spirit of prophecy is with the disclosing unto the view that those who have proven themselves unfaithful will not then be entrusted with the flock. So that's talking about the those shepherds that have been placed in charge of the three feeding pastures of the Seventh-day Adventists, Bashan, Carmel, and Gilead, over a period of 158 years, this is what it's talking about, that the Yahshua has faithful servants who in the shaking testing time will be disclosed unto the view. In the other words, after the old set of the servants who have unfitted themselves for the service are put away and the church thereby purified, and who are these servants that was the last set with Gilead Center, 11th hour servants, okay, with Willis Johnson as the elder, head statesman for the church. Elohim will then disclose unto the view the faithful and true, those whom he can trust as under shepherds of his flock. Let's do that again. He says, for the Yeshua, the Messiah, the Son of Yahweh, will then disclose unto the view of the faithful and true those whom he can trust as the under-shepherds of his flock. He had to put the 11 disciples through a severe test, the shadow of the cross that had to be brought through. Okay. They had to pass through the valley of the shadow of death himself, and in order for him to establish them as his under shepherds here after he went back to heaven. In this same connection, the spirit of the prophecy also warned that the days of the purification of the congregation are hastening on apace. For the Elohim will have a people pure and true in the mighty sifting soon to take place. But we shall be better able for the measurement of the strength of the Israel, for the signs revealed that the time is near, when the Yahshua Messiah will manifest that his fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. Those who have trusted unto the intellect, genius, or talent will not then stand at the head of the rank and file. They did not keep pace with the light. Those who have proved themselves unfaithful will not be entrusted with the flock. In the last solemn work, few great men will be engaged. They are self-sufficient, independent of the Elohim, and he cannot use them. For the Yahshua has faithful servants who, in the shaking, testing time, will be disclosed unto the view. Testimony, Volume 5, page 8. The shaking and testing time began in 2002 at Gilead Center, and it will be ongoing until The first fruits are garnered into the heavenly garner here on earth, and the barn, the kingdom, the everlasting kingdom of the David, has set up, starting right here in Liberty Hill, Texas, where its headwaters are at. For the words that thoroughly purge his floor denotes an absolute purging, which leaves her without the spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. Not until this clean work is accomplished can Elohim logically say unto those who are in the Babylon, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Revelation 18:4. Indeed, were he to do no better than simply bring them into another place where the sin still abounds, he might far better leave them right where they are. For this final work for the church, being of such of the great importance, is still further elucidated in the prophecy of Malachi 3. Of this impending purge, hope inspiring and heartening unto the righteous, but terrifyingly sorrowful for the wicked. For the prophet declares, he shall suddenly come unto his temple, the church or the floor, that he may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth. For he is like a refiner's fire, and like the fuller's soap, and he shall sit as refiner and purifier of the silver, and he shall purify the sons of the Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Yahshua an offering in the righteousness. Malachi 3:1-3. In the explanation of this scripture, the denominational publication published and owned by the Seventh-day Adventist denomination, as well as endorsed and used by the Sabbath School Department throughout the world in 1929, Isaiah the Gospel Prophet, Volume 3, page 49, says, verse 20, Isaiah 59, the Redeemer shall come to Zion. This is not the coming in the clouds, but coming to the church, and when he comes, he will do the work mentioned in Malachi 3:1-3. For this official exposition of the text shows that in 1929 the denomination taught that the prophecy of the Malachi 3 promising a thorough work of the purification is a message unto the Seventh-day Adventist Church, proceeding from the Malachi's disclosure of the purification of the sons of Levi. For the lesson leads us unto the law of the firstborn, the firstfruits. In the Elohim's original plan, the firstborn of every family were to be the ministers of the temple. For the firstborn of the flesh, therefore, are the type of the firstborn of the spirit. And though the typical firstborn lost their priestly inheritance unto the Levites, yet in the restitution of all things in the final division period, Acts 15:16, this office will be restored unto the antitypical firstborn, the firstfruits of the harvest, Revelation 14:4. For they are the servants of our Elohim, Revelation 7:3. For this restoration, therefore, is to follow their absolute reformation, resulting in their perfect safety. If with the but one Achan in the camp, the Israel of the Joshua's time was powerless to stand before the heathen, then what hope has modern Israel with the hundreds of Achans, Testimonies, Volume 5, page 157, in her midst, to stand through the approaching time of the trouble, such as never was since there was a nation? Today as yesterday, there is for her but one door of the hope, the valley of the Achor. There is setting her free from the sinners forever. Elohim will then bring her out jubilantly, singing as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be at that day, saith Yahweh, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shalt call me no more Bala. Hosea 2:16. She shall then no longer call him my master, but rather my husband. For the relationship of a husband being closer than that of a master, it denotes an elevation unto a more intimate connection and walk with the Yahweh Elohim, and that this elevation is the direct result of the Reformation is evidenced in their words. For I will take away the names of the Balaam out of her mouth. They shall no more be remembered by their name. Hosea 2:17. This is because they have their father's name written in their foreheads. And in their mouths is found no guile, for they are without the fault before the throne of the Elohim. Revelation 14:1-5. When the Elohim has taken his people through this refining, purifying process, Testimony Volume 3, page 541, and has brought them forth as fine gold, seven times purified with the dross, burned out forever, then will he be able to fulfill his promise, and in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beast of the field, and with the fowls of the heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground, and I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely, Hosea 2:18. And despite of the ultimate joy and glory unsurpassed, which this message of the hope sits before the angel of the latter end, who is in the charge of the candlestick, the church, he is still warned against the message. Okay, let's put this up again. In despite of the ultimate joy and glory unsurpassed, which this message of the hope sits before the angel, Vertus W. Johnson, at Gilead Center, 2002, of the letter sin, who is in the charge of the candlestick, the temple of Gilead Center in Kermit. He is still warned against the message. He is still warned against the message. If Elohim's people but sufficiently sense their unpreparedness to meet the coming crisis at Gilead Center, and could but see themselves standing, as it were, before the mouth of the dragon, they would tremble and faint for fear. But alas, the pall of the insensibility enveloping them is so great that he who comes as a harbinger of the hope and release, instead of being gratefully welcomed, is viciously attacked as though he were a Finnish harpy or some gorgon or hydra-headed monster, and all because they know not the hour of their visitation, when the Yahshua will destroy them in his fury and save the righteous in his mercy. For the fact that the names of the children in the Hosea's vision are Lo Ruama, no mercy, and Lo Ami, not my people, when representing the Old Testament period, signifies, as previously seen, that Elohim can no longer extend mercy unto the members of his church at Gilead Center. For they personified exactly the antitype of the church, of the Old Testament church up to the cross. So when he punished them by the heathen, the innocent suffered alike with the guilty. But the names of Ruama, mercy, and Ami, my people, show that now in the latter day period, he will have mercy upon them by the destroying of the wicked only, sparing all of the righteous. Behold, the days come, saith the Yahweh, that I will show the house of Israel and the house of the Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of the beast, and it shall come to pass that as I have watched over them to pluck up and to break down and to throw down and to destroy and to afflict, so will I watch over them to build and to plant, saith the Yahweh. In those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten the sour grape, and the children's teeth have sit on it. But every one shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. Jeremiah 31:27-30. Plainly therefore, the constituency of the church in the both periods is depicted by the same two children, Lo Ruama and Lo Ami, except that in the latter period their names are altered. For the scripture, she shall sing there in the New Testament period, as in the days of her youth, as in her first state in the Old Testament period, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt, Hosea 2:15, attests that the experience of the Elohim's ancient people is going out of the Haran and out of the Egypt, will be repeated at the present time, and there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left in Assyria, like as it was unto Israel in the day that he came out of the land of Egypt, Isaiah 11:16. Thus in that day shall the branch of the Yashir be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are shaped of Israel. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in the Jerusalem. When the Yashir shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of the Jerusalem from the midst thereof, by the spirit of the judgment and by the spirit of the burning. And the Yashir will feed upon every dwelling place and upon of the Mount Zion and upon her assemblies, a cloud and a smoke by the day and the shine of a flaming fire by the night, for upon all the glory shall be a defense. And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from the storm and from the rain. Isaiah 4:2-6. For this glorified repetition of the Elohim's leading and Exodus movement by the shepherd's rod shows that he is again using the same method for the bringing of the modern Israel out of the nation where the Jews failed to make their kingdom a working model of the theocracy ordained solely for the manifestation of the Elohim's power, and thus for the converting of the world unto their precious faith, for the present kingdom movement must succeed. For the Elohim's plan knows no final failure. Sooner or later they will be carried out. See Patriarchs and Prophets, page 283. Where it says, so today in the Antitype, Yahshua's voice crieth unto the city, the church, and the man of wisdom, the teachable, shall see thy name. Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it, Micah 6:9, and by a prophet, the Yahweh brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet was he preserved, Hosea 12:13. Obviously, therefore, Elohim will pity all who come under the authority of his rod today, confessing their sins and seeking mercy, but he will have no mercy upon the disobedient, not even upon any who covet the Babylonian garment of today. By the agency of this possession of the goodly Babylonian garment is typified that class of the church members who covet their worldly styles and fashion in the vogue now, when the Israel of today is about to enter the promised land. And the price he paid, they shall pay. Read Isaiah 3:16-26. And not only they shall pay it, but also those who, following in the next steps of the Achan, covet silver and gold. For the Achan's taking of the Yahweh's money represents that class of the church members who covet the silver and the gold which he has set apart for himself. Okay. Now, there was a certain amount of a part of money that was set aside at Gilead Center over a long period of time, over about a 50-year period. And Brother Johnson's mother-in-law set aside a pretty large sum of money. Said this was earmarked for the gospel work one day. And sure enough, Brother Johnson coveted that money. And he coveted for his son to go into a worldly business venture. And he lost it all and lost the life of his son over it. And so that shows you right there that this was antitypically fulfilled by Gilead Center. This coveting of the silver and the gold of the devoted money that was set aside 100% for Yahweh's work. And Verlis Johnson, the prophet, and his wife coveted that money. And they lost every penny of it, and they lost their son in the deal as well. And plus they lost all of their blessing, and then they lost the whole kingdom church over it. They lost all their worldly possessions of homes and cars. They lost everything. All they left out of there was with the clothes on their back, and they had to have somebody to drive them off. So that's losing it all, folks. Achan's taking the Yahshua's money represents that class of the church members who covet the silver and the gold which he has set apart for himself. and who thereby rob him of that which is his own, tithes and offerings. Those who withhold that which is his and appropriate for the use according to their own wisdom, as well as those who oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, says the Yahweh of the host, Malachi 3:5, are acting Achan's part, and therefore are cursed with a curse, even this whole nation, Malachi 3:9. For the tithes and offerings are of the Yahweh's substance, and those who think that they can so manipulate them as to accomplish whatever end is desired are deceiving themselves, not the Elohim, for his command is, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Now I understand better about what this really means. It talks about the members are supposed to bring their 10% tithes and offerings into the storehouse, the church. And if the prophet was to gain money apart from that was set aside for the gospel work, then he's supposed to bring that also and put it with the people's money. And so Brother Johnson did come across a pretty large sums of money over the years, in which he appropriated to himself. I know on two different occasions he did this. He got his inheritance from his father's estate when he died, his mother and father's estate. He got a little bit of an inheritance from it, and he went and squandered that on empty, old, run-down, leaky buildings, tried to put in a thrift shop in one of them, and so forth. And he ended up losing that. And then he got this inheritance from his mother-in-law, saved up the tithes and offerings for over 50 years to be used, and he coveted that and used that in a worldly venture and lost all of that. So on two different occasions, Brother Johnson came into money apart from the tithes and offerings that people paid him over the years, and he squandered it. So now you understand why he came to his end. If for no other reason, just that alone would bring him to his end. Okay, it says... So it says, for the tithes and offerings of the Yahweh's substance, and those who think that they can so manipulate them as to accomplish whatever end is desired are deceiving themselves, not Elohim. For his command is, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, Malachi 3:10. For the storehouse is the only place designated where one may bring the tithes and offerings and unload from his shoulders the heavy responsibility which a faithful stewardship imposes. To do otherwise with them is to leave one's account in the heavenly ledger standing in the red, even though one may appropriate them unto some mediatorous work of the charity while it is yet today. Therefore flee from this sin of the aching before it is forever too late. As I live, saith Yahweh Elohim, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Ezekiel 33:11. Okay, those who will today hear his voice and harden not their hearts, as in the days of the provocation, will he make his future servants. Not by the might nor by the power, but by my spirit, saith the Yeshua the host, Zechariah 4:6. In other words, the workers will be taught rather by the unction of his spirit than by the outward training of the scientific institution. For the Elohim will manifest that he does not depend on the learned, self-important mortals. The most weak and hesitating in the church will be as a David, willing to do and dare. Testimonies, Volume 5, page 82. Okay, it says, moreover, I will take illiterate men, obscure men, says the Yahweh, and move upon them by my spirit to carry out my purposes in the work of the saving souls, for the last message of the mercy will be given by a people who love and fear me. Review and Herald, September 21st, 1905. He will use men for the accomplishment of his purpose, whom some of the brethren would reject as unfit to engage in the work. Review and Herald, February 9, 1895. Unto those workers of Yahweh is graciously saying, and strangers shall stand and feed your flocks and the sons of the alien. Those who are not of the 144,000 shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers, that you shall be named the priests of the Yahweh. Men shall call you ministers of Elohim. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. Isaiah 61:5-6. What an exalted privilege to be able to acknowledge no master but Yahshua, and to engage only in his work and live on his substance. As this ministry of which there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even unto the years of many generations, Joel 2:2, it says, is to be free from all earthly encumbrances. Therefore let no one longer delay in the effecting of the transition which will ultimately see him engaged heart and soul in the Yahshua's closing work for the church, for the end gathering of the first fruits who are to be sealed from among the tares, and while living himself unto this work, he will at the same time be preparing himself to give the message in the time of the loud cry, which the purification of the church, the deliverance of the sealed, and the destruction of the unsealed is to usher in, and which those who are to be purified are to proclaim. That each one wisely make this imperative transition by the gradually curtailing pursuit of his own interest and increasing pursuits of the Yahshua's in this way. Each one will steadily climb from an empty and an unsung past of the self-enterprise to a full and glorious future of the divine enterprise, which shall call forth from the uttermost part of the earth songs, even glory unto the righteous. Isaiah 24:16. Let me tell you, says the spirit of the prophecy, if your heart is in the work and you have faith in Elohim, you need not depend upon the sanction of any minister or any people. If you go right to work in the name of the Yahweh in an humble way, doing what you can to teach the truth, Elohim will vindicate you. If the work had not been so restricted by an impediment here and an impediment there, and on the other side an impediment, it would have gone forward in its majesty. It would have gone in the weakness at first, but the Elohim of heaven lives. Review and Herald, August 16, 1901. See Testimonies, Volume 7, page 25 as well. For my brethren, if you choose to have a part in this grandest of all work, the crowning act in the redemption of the world, you must now quickly make ready, that not the cares of this life rob you of the crown of the eternal life. Do not offer excuses for not making the change a stand. Stand not on the side of those who shall say, I have bought a piece of the ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Or, I have bought 5 yoke of the oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. Or, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Luke 14:18-20. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of the life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passed away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. 1 John 2:16-17. Therefore, while yet engaged in your present occupation, go ye into the vineyard of the Yahweh, or the Yahshua, and as your interest there grows, let your private interest be diminishing until you find yourself completely divorced from them and wedded unto the Yahshua's. Time says the spirit of the prophecy is short, and our forces must be organized to do a larger work. Laborers are needed who comprehend the greatness of the work and who will engage in it, not for the wages they receive, but from a realization of the nearness of the end. For the time demands greater efficiency and deeper concentration. Oh, I am so full of this subject that I cry unto Elohim, raise up and send forth messengers filled with a sense of their responsibility. Messengers in whose hearts self-idolatry, which lies at the foundation of all sin, has been crucified. Testimony, Volume 9, 27. But as the harvest is great and the labors a few, heaven is compelled to finish the work and cut it short in the righteousness, Romans 9:28. Hence, the Yeshua himself now will take charge of the flock, and I will betroth thee unto me forever, saith the Yahweh. Yet I will betroth thee unto me in the righteousness, and in the judgment, and in the loving kindness, and in mercy. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, in the faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Yahshua, Hosea 2, 19 and 20. But this all took place in 2002 at Kermit, Texas, this changing of the flock and the charge of the new flock. He betrothed this new flock unto himself. They that trust in the Yahshua shall be as the Mount Zion at the 12th hour in the Liberty Hill, Texas, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Yahshua is round about his people from henceforth even forever. Psalms 125, 1 and 2. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will hear, saith the Yahweh, and I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. Hosea 2, 21. While the phrase, I will hear the heavens, show that he is on the earth, the phrase, they shall hear the earth, shows that by the means of the angels, there will be a constant communication between heaven and earth. Testimony, Volume 9, page 16. He will use ways and means by which it will be seen that he is taking the reins in his own hands.
I could use that one.
Okay, let's continue on now. Page 49 on Latest News from Mother. It says that he will use ways and means by which it will be seen that he's taking the reins in his own hand, for the workers will be surprised by the simple means that he will use to bring about and perfect his work of the righteousness. Testimony of Ministry, page 300. And so Elohim will take charge of the flock himself. Testimony of Volume 5, page 80. See also our track number 1. Having taken charge of the firstborn, having taken charge, the first fruits of the harvest, he will use them to gather the second fruits, and the earth shall hear the corn, and the wine, and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. Hosea 2:22. For the first clause makes clear that when the Yahshua himself takes complete charge of the flock, a great harvest of the souls is to be garnered in, for the earth shall hear the corn and the wine and the oil, the spiritual food, the message, and they, his brethren in the church and in the world, shall hear Jezreel, the messengers. And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say unto them which were not my people, thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my Elohim, Hosea 2:23. For the promise, I will so multiply her unto me in the earth, here bears further substantiation that there is to be an ingathering of the souls after the purification. Hence, Jezreel's message accomplishes all this before the final close of the probation, that for the world. For this evidence upon evidence makes clear that after 144,000 are sealed and separated from among the wicked in the church, Elohim will send them unto the nations, where they shall declare his glory among the Gentiles, and they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Yahweh out of all nations. in a clean vessel into the house of Yahweh, Isaiah 6:19-20. Hosea's family allegory further shows that in the time of the Jezreel's message, the whole world shall be whole, the glorified relationship of the father, mother, and children. For the Hosea's wife being a representative of the Yahshua's wife, Hosea 2:2, Hosea himself is a representative of the Yahweh. And since his wife is his church, and she and her children are a representation of his church, family, ministry, ministers, and laity, she represents the ministry because they bring forth the converts, the children that make up the laity under Jezreel. Hosea's firstborn son in the vision comes to command, "Say ye unto your brethren, Ami, and unto your sisters, Ruami, plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts," Hosea 2:1-2. From this we see that Jezreel, the one addressed, is symbolical of a prophet who is to command his brethren Ami and his sisters Ruama to go unto their mother and plead with her to reform. For the names Ruama and Ami represent a brother and a sister, singular, but in commissioning Jezreel to speak unto them, Yahshua designates them in the plural, brethren and sisters, embracing the entire church membership. Obviously, therefore, Elohim ordained that one of the laity, Jezreel, his chosen agent, was to herald the message unto Ami and Ruama, his brethren and sisters, who in the turn were to plead with their mother, the ministry. Yahshua has plainly made known this procedure because he knew that the majority are ever prone to lean on their ministers for the revelation of the truth, and because they forget the tragic fact that in the closing work for the church, in each period, the ministry kept the flock from accepting advancing truth rather than leading them into it. Truly, it is not enough to have good intentions, not enough to do what a man thinks is right or what the minister tells him is right. His soul salvation is at stake, and he should search the scriptures for himself. However strong may be his conviction, however confident he may be that the ministers know what is in the truth, this is not his foundation. For the most humble and devoted in the churches were usually the first to receive the message. For this truth has been repeatedly illustrated in the history of the church. Many of the professed followers of the Yahshua refused to receive the light from the heaven, and like the Jews of old, knew not the time of their visitation. Because of their pride and unbelief, the Yahshua passed them by and revealed his truth unto those who, like the shepherds of the Bethlehem and the eastern Magi, had given heed unto all the light that they had received. Great Controversy 598, 372 and 316. With the abundance of the evidence herein made available unto all, no one need remain in the ignorance of the source to which the Yahweh reveals himself, if each will but investigate personally. Geographically has the Yahweh again made known that it is perilous to make flesh your arm, to entrust unto someone the personal responsibility of investigating the message that comes in the name of the Yahweh. Each must for himself prove all things and hold fast unto that which is good, as every true child of Elohim has ever done. Those who will not take time and pains to do this are not honest with themselves or with Elohim, and their interest in the kingdom of the heaven is not such as that shown in the parable of the merchant man who sought salvation as though seeking for the goodly pearls or a hidden treasure, Matthew 13:44-45. And those who cannot for themselves discern the difference between truth and error are prefigured by the five foolish virgins, Matthew 25:2. But there's still another class who are from the private opinion and for the fear that in coming to the light they may have their errors exposed to view, refuse to discharge their individual responsibility and consequently remain in the darkness. Still others hold back from openly taking their stand by the side of those who advocate plain but unpopular truth because of the inconvenience, reproach, and persecution which follow in the wake of being cast out of the synagogue. So the sins of the prejudice, pride, and cowardice work like a cancer in the heart, lurking beneath the surface, only to rob their host of the eternal glory. They are drunken, but not with the wine. They stagger, but not with the strong drink. For the Yahweh hath poured out upon you the spirit of the deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. For the prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. And the vision of all the prophets is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he said, I cannot, for it is sealed, not essential unto salvation, etc. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he said, I am not learned. I must see so and so about it. Wherefore, the Yahweh said, forasmuch as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips to do honor me, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent man shall be hid. Isaiah 29:9-14. From this bill of the indictment which Elohim has drawn up against those who profess to be his, we see that their ignorance is the result of the rejection of the prophets. Every succeeding Jewish generation rejected the living prophets, at the same time bearing recognition and honor unto the preceding ones who were slain by and for the speaking to the fathers. Thus Yahshua rebuked them, saying, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would have not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Matthew 23:29-30. Most of the Christians at the present time, by prizing the gift of prophecy in the Christian era, and by the applying of the Old Testament scriptures unto the Elohim's ancient people only, have rejected all the prophets. The Seventh-day Adventist denomination, however, has long professed to be in the spirit of the prophecy, particularly in that special message which in the latter part of the last century made clear that the angel of Revelation 18:1, who is the light of the earth with his glory, was still in the future, early writings, page 277, and that the prophet Elijah's message was yet to come, testimony of Ministries 4:75. In her latest sin attitude, however, as she is rich and increased with goods and has need of the nothing, neither truth nor prophet, she manifests the spirit which led the Jewish leaders to kill Elohim's messengers, and which has caused nearly all Christendom to set aside the prophets, thus teaching that they ceased with the preaching of John the Baptist. By this shortening man's vision, the enemy is determinedly preparing the way for the church to reject the latter rain and never to receive the promised latter-day Pentecost. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Yahweh your Elohim, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. Joel 2:23, 28 and 29. See our tract number 2, page 58 and 59. All who cheat themselves of this blessing will seal their doom forever in the valley of Jezreel. Call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu. Hosea 1:4. As Jezreel typifies the prophets who have been killed, as well as those who today are being killed, rejected by all who despise the gifts of prophecy, 1 Thessalonians 5:20. For the valley of Jezreel also, therefore, is typical, that is, as the Jezreel represents the prophets, and as the valley of Acre, Hosea 2:15, stands for the destruction of those who are guilty of the Achan sin, in the valley of Jezreel, the place where Jehu destroyed the rejecters of the prophets, Hosea 1:5, must stand for the destruction of those who reject the spirit of the prophecy today, those who thus become disqualified and eliminated from being the Yahshua's servants in his final work, are to be succeeded by the layman's movement. Okay, it says, say ye Jezreel unto your brethren, Ami, and to your sisters, Ruama, plead with your mother, plead, Hosea 2, 1 and 2. Here is brought to view a layman's movement of both men and women who are to arise and proclaim the message of the Reformation unto the church, your mother. They are to plead, put away your whoredoms out of your sight and your adulteries from between your breasts, lest father strip you naked and sit you as in the day that you were born, and make you as in the day that you were born, and make you as a wilderness, and sit you like a dry land, and slay you and with the thirst, Hosea 2, 2 and 3. Through this personified prophecy, we see that the Yahshua is not now calling forth a new denomination, even though the ministry continues to take the membership rights from the adherents of this reformatory message. Consequently, for its successful delivery unto the entire sisterhood of the churches, our banding ourselves into a body of workers as a movement within a movement has been forced upon us. In the brief, we are to confine our message strictly unto the old organization as did the apostles with their message. For the first 3.5 years after the resurrection, they were commissioned to put forth all their effort in behalf of their parent organization only. For the last in the Old Testament period, likewise, the divisions are commissioned to put forth an all-out effort in behalf of their parent, the Laodicean organization, the last in the New Testament period. Let us confidently therefore work unto the end of the pressing together as an army with banners to proclaim the good tidings unto the Zion. Then only can it be said of us, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publishes peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publishes salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy Elohim reigneth. Isaiah 52:7. Brother, sister, if you want a part in this never so glorious work, you dare not longer delay in lifting your voice to help warn mother of what father is about to do unto her. Unlawful children, for the terrors, the church is charged with the terrible sin of the whoredom, intermingling with the world, and of the bringing forth children of the whoredom. Hosea 2:4, converts begotten not by the spirit of the truth, but by the spirit of the world. These have not cut loose from the desires of the natural heart and from the promptings of the carnal mind, the lust of the eyes and the pride of the life, all of which is not of the Father, but is of the world. 1 John 2:16. And these unlawful children are told of the straight testimony which would compel them to give up the world and accept the whole truth. They quickly reveal themselves as not of the seed of Elohim. that dress in health reform and a thorough acceptance of the spirit of prophecy without any mention of either worldly pleasures or sins of morality be urged upon them, and thousands of so-called good Christians in unacceptable standing in the church will abandon their membership. Let this test be applied, and the honest, who may have some doubt about the result, will have it quickly and completely dispelled, once and forever. See early writings, page 270. So the church, well aware of this fact and fearful that she may lose a selfish gain, tithes and offerings, if she fails to acquire a large membership, virtually says, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, my oil and my drink. For she did not know, said the Yahweh, that I gave her corn and wine and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal, Hosea 2, 5 and 8. Only when the church is composed of the pure, unselfish members can it fulfill Elohim's purpose. Too much hasty work is done in adding names to the church roll. Serious defects are seen in the characters of some who join the church. Those who admit them say, we will first get them into the church and then reform them. But this is a mistake. The very first work to be done in the work of reform, is the work of reform. Pray with them. Talk with them. Do not allow them to unite with the Elohim people in the church relationship until they give decided evidences that the spirit of the Elohim is working upon their hearts. Review in Hill, May the 21st, 1901. Okay. Thus peace and safety is a cry for men who will never again lift up their voice like a trumpet to show Elohim's people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sin. These dumb dogs that would not bark are the ones who feel the just vengeance of an offended Elohim. Testimony, Volume 5, page 211. This brings the close of our study. This hour, contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archives. We're going to close this service now with a song. This brings the end of our study. This hour, contact us at the 11th hour call. We're going to close this service now with a song entitled, Take the Name of Yahshua With You. Take the name of Yahshua with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will call joy and comfort give you. Take it in where you go. Precious name, oh how sweet. Earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Take the name of Yahshua ever as a shield from every snare. If temptations round together, breathe that holy name in prayer. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Oh, the precious name of Yahshua, how it thrills our souls with joy when His loving hands receive us and His songs our tongues employ. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. At the name of Yahshua bowing, falling prostrate at His feet, King of kings in heaven will crown Him when our journey is complete. Precious name, oh how sweet. of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven.